Satan's most successful work. I had announced on Wednesday night that we hope to look on a lesson by that title. And I'm hoping, therefore, that today I can bring into focus the thing which, in my opinion, as I examine God's word and the working of Satan, what I would consider Satan's, the devil's, Lucifer most successful undertaking. Now, lest there be any misunderstanding about Satan's success. You know, the business of Satan most successful work. So lest there is any misunderstanding up front, I want to state that Satan, the devil, now operates under restriction and curtailment now. Satan at this time now operates under curtailment by God. I quote one instance. When Satan became jealous of Job's faithfulness, and Job is not fiction, that is a true lesson of one of the ancient servants of God. But because he was so committed and faithful to God, and Satan was not able to have his way with Job, amen, Satan wanted to sift Job to pieces. But notice, Satan had to get permission from God. What I find also striking is that the Almighty God decided to take up Satan's challenge, because Satan challenged the Almighty God that you have made Job successful. He had a nice family, beautiful children. You have increased his wealth. What else can a man want other than serving you? But Satan, pushing the temptation button and brazen with it, because it's God he's dealing with at this time. Touch Job and you'll see if he will not curse you. The Almighty God in effect said, okay, go and do with him what you think you need to do. At the end of it, God won, because Job stood up to Satan's temptation. What is the point? Satan is now operating under restriction and curtailment from God. In Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Satan was defeated. You see, it's not going to be on Judgment Day, and that is coming. But Christians don't have to wait until judgment for Satan to be subdued. When Jesus Christ died, buried, and came from the grave on the third day, Satan was defeated. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. Matthew chapter 8, 28, 29.
And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs.
They were possessed. They were under Satan's guidance and control, possessed with devil.
Exceeding fierce.
They were exceeding fierce.
So that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do?
Watch here now. When they saw Jesus Christ, now they recognized who Jesus Christ was. And they knew Jesus' power. These agents of Satan said to Christ, what they said?
What have we to do with thee?
What have we to do with you?
Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
You notice that little business, before the time. You see, before the time. That is, these demons, Satan's angels, so to speak, they knew that the time had already been set by God for their eternal punishment. Hence, have you come to torment us before the time? It's like they are saying, we know that our time in hell is waiting on us. We don't expect you to bring it yet. Have you come to torment us before the time? But what we need to be mindful of is that until such time when Satan will be totally out of the picture, yes, that time is coming. Let me just drop this by. Judgment is coming. Wait, judgment is going on now. I always like to point that out. We are being judged by God every minute, every hour, every day. Amen. Every one of us. The Almighty God is taking stock of our behavior, our belief, our conduct, how we relate to Him, how we obey the gospel. Every day. So we are being judged now, but there will be a final judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Bible speaks about Christian being saved, when the Bible speaks about after judgment, and the saved are caught up to be with Christ, and the unsaved will be placed in the eternal fire, what we must remember is that we will be completely free from Satan's temptation. S- after the final judgment. And everything is brought to its ultimate divine completion. Satan will not be able to tempt any man or any woman any again forever. Be mindful of that. Where he will be powerless to carry out temptation. I just dropped that by. That is brought up. So, my point was that Satan will be totally out of the picture and unable to tempt us to put sin and evil in our mind and our conduct. Satan is now going all out. Now he's going all out like a mad beast trying to find friends and support among men and women. Satan is doing everything he can to have us live lives that are contrary to God's will. He's doing everything now to destroy our faith, our belief in what Christ has done at Calvary. He's doing everything now to use worldly things and sinful habits and action to get us become the enemies of God. Every day, every minute, Satan is working hard. And this is some of what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is talking about. Let us hear it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let us hear it.
Be sober.
Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary.
Your adversary.
The devil.
The devil.
As a roaring lion.
Uh-huh.
Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
You notice how he's described? He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brother Michel, who we want to eat up? You and me. That's right. If Satan can get you, give up your belief. If Satan can get those among us who are not Christian, if Satan can get you living just like that, you have enough religiousness in you to come to church now and again, but you never make a commitment to Christ. Satan loves you. He probably kiss you up every day. That's right. Yes. You see, once he will have you believe in God only so much, but not enough for you to make a commitment to God. He will have the Christian continue to give lukewarm service to God. In fact, I'll be getting in that in more detail to when I get to the point where I'll be pointing out to you that Satan knows God much more than most of us. That's right. Wait. Satan knows God's holy nature and what God will accept and will not accept. You and I have fooled ourselves that the Almighty God will be satisfied with partial service. Counterfeit service. And all of that. Therefore, to find men and women to make total commitment to Jesus Christ, it's not so easy, because Satan wants the Christian, or would-be Christian, to feel that you can throw anything at God and he will accept it. You see, Satan knows better than that. But he has deceived so many of us to forget the holiness of God. But let me go on. Yes, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are we all there? Satan's place and punishment in the eternal hell is ready and waiting. He is desperately, yes, the passage just read in Peter chapter 5 verse 8 is on the point of Satan's desperation. He's going around like a roaring lion. That is, being an enemy of God, he wants to do as much damage as he can. And we are the one human being that he's trying to use. May I? So what Satan, one of Satan's most successful effort, yes, being so desperate now, being the roaring lion, Satan is using counterfeit, are we all there? Counterfeit religious leaders and preachers, yes, and I'm going to show, hopefully I'll get to that. Counterfeit not only religious preachers and leaders like myself, but is using counterfeit doctrine and teaching, counterfeit religious worship, and counterfeit religious institution. In the area of counterfeit, I personally think that Satan's most successful work. That's right. And I'm going to point out the two or so reasons why. Satan has been quite successful. Did I say successful? Yes. In producing and sending out counterfeit in the various areas that I mentioned. Counterfeit religious teachers and preachers. Counterfeit churches. And we're going to go to the Bible to see that in the book of Revelation, John in the island of Patmos, when he received the book of Revelation, he was dealing with counterfeit teachers and counterfeit institution, counterfeit doctrine, religious teaching that looks and appears as if it is okay when it is completely contrary to God's will. So again, Satan is using counterfeit. And as I've just said, I believe that he has experienced more success in that area than all the other areas. Let me speak to you a little about counterfeit. You know, this is a track I wrote some years ago, and I'm hoping to get it reprinted. The title of this track is Satan's Counterfeit, Don't Fall for It. In the introductory section of it, I pointed out almost every country in the world has, at one time or the other, had to deal with this problem with their monetary notes. I didn't carry any monetary notes. Yeah. I said every country, at some time or the other, had to deal with problem with their monetary notes. The smart, intelligent, dishonest, criminal-minded person can produce counterfeit $1,000 bill, $5,000 bill. Yes! What I find striking about the criminal-minded out there is they can make a counterfeit $5,000 or $1,000 bill look so authentic that you and I can never detect that it is authentic by our pure eyes. What various governments over the world have had to do is have either particular liquid or electronic machine built. You go to the bank and they take your money and they put it under light there. And if there's one counterfeit in it when they flip them, the light will indicate. That's what they have to do. Well, Brother Mitchell, why didn't they just look on it and see? You can't look and see because it looks just like the genuine. Are we all there? There is no smarter. There is no more intelligent or more skillful counterfeiter than Satan himself. Nobody can do as good a work in counterfeiting as Satan. If mere human being can produce counterfeit note that looks so authentic and genuine, that various governments over the world, over the past many centuries, have had to have scientific people come together to make equipment or liquid or machine to detect if the thing is counterfeit. Then can you imagine what Satan is able to do? That tells us what we are dealing with. Are we all there? That Satan is a counterfeiter, and the most skillful, intelligent, and powerful is the teaching of Matthew 24, verse 22 through 24. Let us hear it. Let us hear the passage. Matthew 24, verse 22 through 24.
And except those days should be shortened.
Listen carefully. Christ is the speaker. Except those days were shortened.
There should no flesh be saved.
No flesh, listen, no flesh would be saved. It's not true. Read on.
But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Everybody.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not.
You see, it is the counterfeit going to come in the name of Christ. Are we all there? And the first part of the verse the brother read is pointing out that if the days were not shortened, nobody would be saved. And that is, Satan in his work would be so successful that nobody would be able to detect that he is at work. Are we all there? What verse is that, brother?
It's verse 23.
Read on.
For there shall arise false Christs.
Wait. That's what we call counterfeit, you know. False monetary note is a counterfeit monetary note. Here Jesus Christ is telling us, there shall arise what?
False Christs. And false prophets. And shall show great signs. And wonders. In so much that if it were possible.
Wait. They are going to be so authentic and impressive with what they are doing. That what, brother?
In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Everybody hear that? That so effective will be the counterfeit preachers, religious leaders, so resembling and acting like Jesus' servant, that even those who are tied up in Christ Christ says, even those were almost deceived. Are we all there? Be mindful that Jesus Christ is speaking. In fact, listen, Paul now in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians.
For such are false apostles.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, may I drop something by? Read that again, brother.
For such are false apostles.
May I just drop this? I want you to just get this. I interrupt the reading just to point this out. There is no apostles of Christ today.
Amen.
I'm going to repeat that. And if you're in the audience as a visitor, he planned to save all men and women. In the Bible, it's spoken about as the righteousness of God. God's way of making men and women righteous. Yet you and I live in a world where each church has its own way of you or I becoming a Christian. Next week we'll go in more detail. Jesus Christ tells us on the subject of baptism that you must be baptized. But watch here. Jesus Christ tells why you are to be baptized. In today's world, we are told that baptism is an outward show of an inner grace. That's $1 million. Yes. If you can find one place in the Bible where anywhere in God's word define baptism in those terms, that it is an outward sign of an inner grace, I will give you $1 million Jamaican dollars. Oh, Brother Mitchell, I didn't know you have so much money. There are brothers here and sisters who will lend it to me. That's right. That's right. So if me can't find it, I'll borrow. Now, if you can find one passage where baptism is so defined that it is an outward sign of an inner grace, we may go more in more detail with that next week. What I'm saying is that when Jesus Christ commands baptism as that which is essential to man's salvation, Jesus Christ tells us why we are to be baptized. But the various churches have their own reason why you are to be baptized. So I say that Satan is quite thoughtful, premeditated in his effort, and he is quite calculating. And the point of calculation, I need to close. Satan recognized that a large percentage of human beings are going to believe in God. Satan knows that. That while some people will be atheists, claim that they do not believe in God, Satan knows that in the population out there all over the world, there are men and women who have a belief in the existence of a higher being. Satan knows that. Are we all there? So, Satan calculate on that these people who believe in God, many of them will never be committed church members. But Satan feel if he can get them to practice partial religion, counterfeit religion, false religion, Satan realizes that he has a big audience out there for that. We will get more into that next week, God's willing. Don't be a victim of Satan's counterfeit, please. Please. And if you are in the audience now and would like to ask questions from what has been said so far, we appreciate your feedback. You can come back at our 6 o'clock service. And before we get into the lesson that is planned for that time, we will give members and visitors alike the opportunity to see clarification on anything that I said here or to ask your question. We appreciate you. But if you have learned enough to see your need for Jesus Christ today, yes, if you have learned enough to see your need for Jesus Christ today. In a few seconds or minute, we'll be standing to sing an invitation song. That invitation song will be sung to the honor and glory of Jesus' name. But it is always an appropriate time for you to step forward and give your life to Jesus Christ. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you. Christ loves you, cares for you, and Jesus Christ wanted you to be here today to hear this message. That's right. As we stand, remember, Christ in mercy, in grace, in love is beckoning to you to turn your life over to him as we stand.